The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up.
We were all created for something. And so whether you are male or female, whether you are young or old, whatever ethnic tradition you are from, whatever place you find yourself in life, God has called you to a purpose. And when He calls you to a purpose, then He fills you and prepares you and equips you. He gives you muchness with which to fulfill that.
Be brave. Dream big. Take risks. Rise to your calling.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. We are here to encourage you today, especially you ladies. But gentlemen, hang on, because you're going to learn some really valuable things to do that will free you up in some ways you might not have imagined. My guest is Kim Moss. She has a book called Finding Our Muchness. And I originally had to look that word up. Is that a real word? It is. And she's going to tell you what it means, but even more so, the spiritual freedom and reality and empowerment behind it. So hang on. Great program. Kim, welcome to Life Today. Good to see you.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a while.
Yeah. Okay. Was that introduction too much?
No, it was great.
Well, let's hit the muchness idea, because I love where you got it and what it means and how you apply it. What is muchness?
Yeah. Well, I first heard the term actually in a movie with Alice in Wonderland, and I fell in love with the word then.
Okay.
But when I started to study scripture, you can find that word actually in the Hebrew called me'od in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5.
Okay.
So it's in the great Shema, we call it the Shema, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your me'od, your very, very much. So your muchness. What this really means is that all of the essence, the force, the parts of your personality that God has poured into you, with which He wants you to love Him back with, mm-hmm. and to use to fulfill the call that's on your life.
Your strength. Oh, strength is the way we've heard it, but you're saying that it's deeper. It's typical with Scripture.
Yes.
It's so much deeper than we realize.
Always. Scripture's always like that.
So how do you apply this? Specifically, I want to ask, and look, I don't know where all you guys are at or what you've been taught, but I think, Kim, maybe there are some traditional teachings that prevent us from serving with all of our muchness, particularly women. Mm-hmm. What have we maybe gotten a little off that would free us up if we would understand this properly?
Well, I think that we need to understand that God calls all of us to a task in our lives. We were all born for something. We were all created for something. We were created to love Him completely with everything that we are. And then we are all created with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so whether you are male or female, whether you are young or old, whether you are whatever ethnic tradition you are from, whatever place you find yourself in life, whatever your education is, whatever your financial status is, God has called you to a purpose. And when He calls you to a purpose, then He fills you and prepares you and equips you. He gives you muchness with which to fulfill that. So I think that this book talks about many women in Scripture who overcame many different obstacles and limitations placed on them by culture or society, mm-hmm. because of their gender, because of their ethnicity, because of their socioeconomic status, mm-hmm. that were limits to fulfilling the purpose for which God created them. But God then comes and He says, no, come along with me. I have given you everything you need, and we're going to fulfill this if we'll trust Him and if we will love Him with everything that we are.
Yeah, oh, Jesus totally wrecked the cultural limits that they put on Him at the times. And God's continued to do that throughout history, just kind of. How did God wreck some of your religious traditional limits that you grew up with?
Oh, I was born in a church that that didn't believe that women could be pastors or leaders, mm-hmm. Preachers. there were lots of limits placed on the tradition that I came out of, although it taught me to love Scripture with everything, which is one of the reasons I've come to the place where I'm at now. Because as I've studied Scripture, as I looked at Scripture, as I began to interpret Scripture according to the Hebrew and the Greek and the various great traditions, then I discovered that many of those things were not exactly the way that I was taught them.
Right.
So as I grew up and I made some great mistakes in my life, there was a time when God really rescued me. When He came in and I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, I heard Him call me to ministry. And when I heard that, I said, Lord, how can this possibly be? Is this really from You, you know? And so I had to do the studies and I went to school and I found out that theologically speaking, that God can call any of us to whatever He decides and He gifts and equips us, male and female, to fulfill the call for which He calls us to.
Yeah,
so
right.
The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit distributes His gifts to whomever He desires and wills, and it's not according to gender.
Yeah, well, it's not according to all the things that we want to put on it, and that's the beauty of God's kingdom, you know? He has made us a kingdom of every tribe, every ethnicity, male, female, every age, and there is a place and a calling for all of us, and that's really what I want people to hear as you're listening to this conversation today, is that don't be limited by your tradition, by your church, in a sense, you know, if it's a little off, certainly by culture, forget about that. God's economy is different than this world's economy, and He calls all of us. And so I want to go into a little bit more detail because you were on the verge of divorce.
Yes, it was.
Tell us how God entered into that, which really led to this opening up and freedom in your, you know, your whole ministry and your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up not knowing there was a call on my life at all.
Yeah.
And then I did get saved at the age of 13, and it was glorious, and I knew it was the real thing. I wanted Jesus so much. But then when I was a teenager, I just sort of walked away from the Lord, and it was during those years that I met my husband, and we were a blind date, and I got pregnant, and we got married. And after we were married, I discovered that he was a drug addict and alcoholic.
Oh.
I hadn't known him long enough to understand all that. And of course, I was pretty dysfunctional in my own self. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't recognize any of that. And so right around the 3.5 year mark of our marriage, we already had two little girls. I just decided I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't tolerate it anymore. And so I left him and I filed for divorce and we separated. And we were separated about 6 months. And during that time, I met a woman. I was interviewing for a job because in those days I was a nurse. I wasn't a minister. Right. I didn't know yet that I had a call in my life. And so I was interviewing for a job position. And this woman said to me that she was leaving her position and interviewing me for her position. Because she was planting a church with her husband, a vineyard church, which I had no idea what that meant.
Right.
I didn't understand theology at that time or right. the different views. I didn't know what it meant to be spirit-filled, any of those things. And so I said, oh, well, okay. And I decided to tell her everything that was going on.
Oh, wow.
I was in the middle of a divorce, and my husband was a drug addict and alcoholic, and I was working a couple of jobs already, trying to make ends meet. It was really a tough situation. Well, she did the craziest thing ever. She invited me to be part of their new church. I was like, I don't know how that works, but okay.
HR may not like that, but okay. God's
right.
good with it.
I guess it's the right place, right? The right place for sinners. And so I started going to their church. And after just a couple of weeks, I decided to buy myself a Bible. I hadn't read my Bible in a long time.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, dirty. Mm. I felt bad.
Mm.
I felt really like the chief of sinners. You know, I think that's always the thing, is that you know you know when you're not walking with the Lord, if you have ever walked with the Lord. And I knew that. I just didn't know how to make my way back. I felt like I was so far gone, you know. Yeah. And so I told her everything. She prayed for me. I went home later that day. I opened up my Bible. And when I opened up my Bible, I heard the audible voice of God. Oh. Now, I didn't know he could even speak. I didn't know he would speak. I didn't know that he would speak to me. Mm-hmm. And he just said, go home and I will take care of everything. And I remember being totally freaked out. It was so loud on the outside, on the inside, like totally enveloped me. I didn't exactly know what to do with it. But I, in as soon as that fear passed, then I was angry. And I stood up and I was just like, Lord, do you understand what you're asking me to do? Do you understand he has not changed? Do you understand how bad that was? And I gave him all the reasons. But I had this knowing in my heart that I was either going to obey him for the rest of my life or I was going to walk away for the rest of my life. And so I made my decision and I went home to my husband. And he was pretty much the same for about 4 years.
Wow.
You know, that's the thing I think. As a minister, I meet people all the time. They hear the voice of the Lord. They hear a prophetic word. They think it comes to pass immediately. Not always. Yeah. Sometimes we have to walk it out faithfully.
Most often, I think.
Just believing. Yeah. And it was really difficult. Mm-hmm. And at the end of 4 years, it was the night before Thanksgiving. And I was up all night crying and asking the Lord, I don't understand. I thought you said this. Maybe I didn't hear you. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe, you know, maybe my family's right that I'm going to end up alone again. And now I have 3 children now, and I never heard from the Lord. And early in the wee hours of that morning, my husband came home after being out, gone all night doing drugs and drinking with his friends. And he had had an encounter with the Lord.
Oh.
So he came in and said, I know you're not going to believe me, he said, but something has happened. And I said, I don't really care. I'm leaving anyway. But about 3 weeks later, we sat down at the kitchen table and we talked. And he said that on his way home, a presence filled the car and he knew it was Jesus. He was an unbeliever, you know, but he knew it was Jesus. And he said he felt the still small voice of the Lord speaking to him on the inside. And he said, the Lord said to him that you're about to lose everything, that you're about to lose everything you've ever loved unless you give your life into my hands. And so he gave his life to Jesus and he was instantly delivered of all of his drugs and alcoholism. It was a miracle. And we just went on from there, and now we've been married 45 years.
45 years.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, God is such a God. Well, one, he's patient.
Yeah, he is.
You know, wanting none to perish.
That's right.
The scripture says. But the restoration, the redemption. You talked about feeling dirty.
Yeah.
Yourself, when you were trying to, you know, find your way back to God, which he's right there. You just kind of got to turn it around, right?
That's
repentance,
right.
You turn around. There is a woman that you write about in Finding Our Muchness that you say that you relate to. Mm-hmm. Tell us why that dirty woman means so much to you.
Well, as I started writing this book, I actually was very surprised that this woman wrecked me so much.
Yeah.
But I think it's exactly what you said. I could relate to her, you know. It's in the 7th chapter, and she's called the Sinner of the City. And she was known as a prostitute.
Yeah.
She was ostracized by everyone. And in that time, Simon the Pharisee, he invites Jesus to come to his house for dinner. And we think, oh, you know, finally Jesus is going to show himself for who he is and the Pharisees are going to know him. But really, Simon was inviting him to his house to vet him in a way to show that he wasn't who he said he was.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And that he wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't the prophet that everybody said that he doesn't know. And so while he goes to dinner, Jesus shows up for dinner. And I call it in the house of the religious spirit, because a religious spirit isn't, in many circles, I think we understand that as an actual demon. And I think that's possibly true. But in this passage, it's actually a system that comes to pass among elites of a religious circle that begin to make decisions on who's measuring up and who doesn't measure up. Mm-hmm. And of course, a sinner doesn't really measure up now, do they? And so this woman, who obviously had some kind of encounter with him beforehand, but she comes throwing herself at Jesus' feet during this dinner, and she's weeping over his feet, and she takes down her hair, which is actually an act of a prostitute, but she's not thinking. She just wants to worship Jesus. And she takes down her hair, and she's drying his feet with her hair. And it's the most excruciatingly beautiful worship. And as you study the scripture, you begin to see how excruciatingly beautiful it is. She is not aware of anyone or anything. She just needs to worship this Jesus who has forgiven her from all of her sin, all of this way she's been made to feel dirty, all of these things that she knows have been wrong in her life. And maybe she's done it knowingly. Maybe some of it's not knowingly. We don't know anything about her history. We don't know anything about her family. All we know is that she has to give him something that is of the greatest worth. And it's not actually her alabaster jar. It's actually her own self. Yeah. It's her own heart. It's her worship. And everyone in the room is judging her. The Pharisee, who you think is as the head of the church, should understand that this woman has been forgiven and with her gratitude. But, you know, I think sometimes we forget after we come into the church from where we have been forgiven. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that God has forgiven us for, and our gratitude begins to wane. This woman in her most desperate moment to worship Christ, you know, shows that system for what it really is. Rather, what he should have done is thrown himself at his feet with this woman. Simon should have thrown himself at Jesus' feet along with her and said, I also am a sinner. Mm-hmm. I also need to be forgiven. So it's this beautiful, beautiful story of forgiveness and this beautiful song. I call it the song that she sings, because we all have sung that song, you know, but for the grace of God.
Yeah. Yeah. She worshiped with her muchness.
She did.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. Listen, if you feel like the sinner of the city, if you feel like maybe the church has rejected you, and maybe it has, or maybe you just know what you've done, you know, nobody needs to preach to you. We've got someone who's not wanting to preach to you, but to pray with you. We have a telephone number right there. You can pick it up. And we don't know all that you've done, all the things you've been through, but we know the one who rescues you from everything. And he gives you much. Jesus gave everything. And when you give everything to him, he will transform you. He may save your marriage, may save your life, may save whatever it is, like he did with Kim. But he'll be with you through whatever is to come. Pick up the phone. Someone will pray with you, no matter where you're at. And look, if you'd like to get, we only barely touched on some of the content of Finding Our Muchness by Kim Moss, but I'd love to send that to you today. Here's how we'll do it. We have an opportunity for you to demonstrate God's love to people who are in desperate need. Look at this and see how you can be God's hands and feet around the world. And when you participate, we'd love to send you this book. Watch this.
I had the privilege of visiting one of the hospitals of our medical mission partners in Africa. While there, I met some of their staff who were making their rounds. A meaningful time for me was being with some of the families and their children who were recovering from surgery. Each and every day, their medical staff see children who are born with serious physical conditions. Many have never been able to walk normally because of having club feet or windswept legs or bowed legs. Other conditions they see range from cleft lip, cleft palate, childhood injuries that impact bone growth, and physical appearances. If not corrected in time, these children are destined to lead a life of misery and suffering. But that's where these gifted surgeons step in a very unique way.
We are servants of the Lord. The Lord can do anything that He wants to do, without us, He can do. But He has chosen us so that we can help to do His work.
And that's why even as medical people, we really have to depend on Him. We have to pray for them, our patients, pray for them when we are doing the operations, just because we know that we are just the hands of someone who is actually doing the work. We are just doing that small part, and then God does the rest.
And it's a great joy that He's going to use me as one of the tools to make His work perfect again.
It is wonderful seeing children walk and run and play with smiles and laughter in ways they never could before. Life Outreach's medical partners are restoring dignity and transforming lives of precious children through these reconstructive surgeries. I invite you to join us in supporting Life's medical missions outreach with your prayers, your love, and your financial support so that even more children can experience healing, hope, and lasting change.
What you're seeing there is a biblical principle that I want to stress to you right now. And you can go all the way back to God using Moses to deliver the Israelites. God could have done that without Moses. But you know what He chooses to do? He chooses to bring us into His plan. Not because He needs it, but because we need it. You're seeing that right now in Zimbabwe at that hospital with those doctors. And wow, what a testimony. Those doctors saying, we are tools in God's hand. Their skills that they have given to the Lord to help these children whose lives would be much more difficult without those surgeries. And you know what? Their skill, their time, their expertise, they give freely. Those children, the families of those children, they don't pay a thing for those surgeries. Their lives are changed because of the love of God and the support of people just like you. And we need to do more. Partner with what God is doing. You will find blessing there. You know, Proverbs says that if you're generous to the poor, then you're loaning to God and He will repay it. I mean, God doesn't need your loan. God is trying to give us a principle by which we can live that says, if we will remember the poor, if we will be generous to the poor, if we will help those in need, then God will step in and bless us in ways that we can't even measure. That's that partnership. We have a need right now at that hospital in Zimbabwe. It's going to cost $600,000 to renovate that. That means expanding the operating rooms. It means giving more places for those children to recover and those families to stay and for those doctors to work. It means touching more lives, correcting more of those conditions, enabling more children to run, to smile, to play, and more importantly, to live a normal, productive life. You can give that to them. You can give that to them today. In fact, we need to hear from you quickly because this is a one-time thing. This is not an ongoing thing. This is, we're going to expand it and we're going to bless more children, but we need to hear from you right now. Whatever gift you can make today will make a difference. Some of you can give more financially towards that goal, but the most important thing is that you pause for a moment. You say, Lord, would you have me partner with you on this? And then you obey whatever He says. He will bless you however He wants to bless you, which is typically in the way you need it most. But don't give to get. Give because God has put it on your heart to be generous. That's the starting point. And make the best gift you can. If you're in a position just to renovate that whole place by yourself, do it. I know most of you are not. But let's come together. Let's be a part of what God's doing. Let's step into His plan to bless others. Go to the phone, go online, give the best gift you can.
Many children in Africa are born with severe deformities or suffer life-altering injuries. Conditions like club feet, windswept legs, and untreated fractures force them to live in pain because help is out of reach. But you can offer healing today. Our mission partner in Zimbabwe runs a children's hospital, now at capacity, and in urgent need of renovation and expansion. With a $600,000 goal and only a short period of time to raise the necessary funds, your best gift today helps children receive the surgical care they need at no cost to the families. Together, we can heal precious lives and reveal the love of Jesus. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. Featuring inspiring photos from life's outreaches, this beautiful journal is a reminder that your prayers and partnership are making a global difference. With your gift of $126 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,026 to help with the expansion of operating rooms so children are no longer turned away, and request Life's beautiful bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Please do join us, and join us now. We really need to hear from you so we can get all of that in motion. You're going to help radically change lives and radically exemplify the love of Christ. And look, when you do it, request Finding Our Muchness by Kim Moss. What's your website for people that want to follow?
KimMoss.com.
KimMoss.com.
KimMoss.com. M-A-A-S.
I love it. So simple. Thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and thank you for being here. Come back. We've got more encouragement for you. We want to see you here again on Life Today.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news with the Life Today social media experience.
So it's not that God isn't speaking, but there's a long line of overthinking, worst case scenario, catastrophizing.
Quiet your mind and hear the voice of God.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.